Reading today is taken from Mark chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered, as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Mr. Christ.
So the church's year has now come round to Holy Week and Easter, the climax of the long weeks of Lent. Consumer societies focused relentlessly on celebrating Christmas with a countdown to the shopping frenzy, seeming to begin earlier each time. But without Holy Week and Easter, Christmas is meaningless. A miraculous child was born, true, but his destiny was only fulfilled in his death and resurrection. First fruits of a redeemed creation. Without the death and without the resurrection, we would have at best no more than ancient stories of an exemplary man who lived centuries ago. An inspiring character, but no heaven-sent saviour. Our faith should find its foundation and fruition in this season. Yet too often, I myself have arrived at Good Friday unfocused, overly busy, and ill-prepared for the deep reflection that should characterise the days to follow. But concentrate. Today is Palm Sunday. Jesus and his disciples had walked the long uphill road of over 20 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. Little wonder, you might say, that he chose to ride into the city. But there is more to that choice than this. It was a well-planned gesture, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And there's a touch of the secret undercover operation here. The availability of the colt could have been set up beforehand. We imagine this colt tied up peacefully in the village, not doing any harm. Maybe, though, as we learn that it was a colt that had never been ridden, and was therefore probably a young and lively animal, it wasn't peaceful at all, but restive and eager to be off. The disciples are asked to untie it, and that might have been no easy task, untying the colt while restraining it from running wild. And at this point in his life and ministry here on earth, Jesus stands at a pivotal point. What lies ahead is like the colt, untried and unknown and unpredictable. To untie it is going to bring him into headlong collision with the civil and religious authorities. And to us, the picture of Jesus riding on a donkey invites ridicule. Bring such a creature into the arena of an equine event and people will laugh, regarding it as an invitation to send in the clowns. Donkeys in our culture are derided as one of God's creative jokes, and to dub someone a silly ass is not exactly a compliment. but donkeys were more respectfully regarded by the Jews in Jesus' day. To choose to ride into Jerusalem on a young donkey meant that he came as the Prince of Peace. It was a dramatic messianic gesture. Generals victorious in war rode on horseback. And the reason why this colt had hitherto never been ridden was that the law required it of an arrival, an animal to be used for sacred purposes. In our own journey of discipleship, we have choices too. We can stay safely tied up in the village of Starbeck, for example, with familiar places and people, or even patterns of prayer. Or we can risk embracing real challenges with the one who leads us into an unknown and unknowable future. When we turn our faces, as Jesus does, towards the future, our faith goes beyond just believing with our heads and challenges us to trust in our hearts, the one who rides ahead of us, whatever that ride may cost. Were some of those who feted Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem making fun of him, mingling with his genuine supporters who hailed him with their hosannas? Was there some kind of rent-a-mob mocking him? Was the crowd made up of two very different groups, the one a smallish band of his true followers, the other the others? A fanciful idea, granted, but it may explain the cloaks and the branches. Those who put their cloaks down on the road, the followers, the true followers, may have done so to prevent the colt from slipping, much as Jehu, the fast charioteer, had his fellow officers do the same on the steps when he was made king. You can read about that in the second book of Kings. Others wouldn't risk their own clothing under hoof, donkeys not being house trained. So they snapped off branches from wayside trees, other people's trees. It's worth noting, however, that green branches were often waved about at festival time. And the Hosanna verses from Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26, were shouted out. Hosanna meaning save now. Anyone can offer the Lord devotion with branches from someone else's field. And the cross looms up darkly across the Christian way and confronts those who sport it as a trinket or wear it as a witness with the discomforting question, is ours a cheap, undemanding religion, the kind with the cross removed? The cloaks, by contrast, represent costly discipleship. And quite possibly the people spreading their cloaks on the road for a man to ride over on a donkey thought it absolutely sensible behaviour. Maybe they thought that this was the Messiah coming to conquer, to turn out the detested Roman occupying power. It's hard to imagine that any guessed Jesus would one day die for their salvation just a few days later. And throughout his life, Jesus showed that he was sure of his purpose. He knew where he was going, what his mission was. But never was this more marked at the end of his life as he approached Jerusalem and all the momentous events of the coming week. His prior knowledge of the colt's availability is just one small detail that gives evidence of his awareness of what was to happen. Have you ever considered what might have been in Jesus' mind as he rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday? Possibly the shout from Psalm 118, verse 27. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession. Jesus knew the scripture well, and he knew that a few verses earlier, the stone the builders rejected had become the cornerstone. A verse he quoted himself a few days later. He was the rejected stone whose crucifixion and resurrection were to make him the cornerstone of our church. How did Jesus react to this momentous, exhilarating experience? The final verse says he went to the temple and observed. But this simple verse shows us two things about Jesus which were typical of him. It shows us Jesus deliberately summing up his task. The whole atmosphere of the last days was one of deliberation. Jesus was not recklessly plunging into unknown dangers. He was doing everything with his eyes wide open. When he looked round everything, he was like a commander summing up the strength of the opposition and his own resources, preparatory to the decisive battle. And it shows us where Jesus got his strength. He went back to the peace of Bethany. Before he joined battle with men, he sought the presence of God. It was only because each day he faced God that he could face men with such courage. And this brief passage also shows us something about the 12. They were still with him. By this time it must have been quite plain to them that Jesus was committing suicide, as it seemed to them. Sometimes we criticise them for their lack of loyalty in the last days, but it says something for them that, little as they understood what was happening, they still stood by him. I pray that we will too. Amen.